You're listening to the Armed American Radio Network, brought to you every week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. And now, your host, Mark Walters.
This is hour number three, and this is one of my favorite hours of the broadcast because we kind of relax a little bit. And most people that are picking us up right now are picking us up on the internet. I'm sure you're listening to us on the internet right now. That will change in a couple weeks when we have some stations begin carrying the third hour. And the podcast, we've got, listeners all over the place. Thank you very much. But this is a good, relaxing hour, and I want to let you know that I am probably going to wind up giving myself the Bonehead of the Week award this week, simply because, or one of them anyway. We already gave one out. But I'm too busy looking at too many computer screens, and I promise I'll stop doing that. I'm losing my train of thought going back and forth from screen to screen, so I'm going to settle down a little bit. You are on the Armed American Radio Network. I'm your host, Mark Walters. Pick up the phone. Don't be shy. Call us and talk about your rights, your freedoms, your right to carry, self-defense, whatever the topic may be. 877-956-9566. 877-956-9566. Mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org, twitter.com/AAR Mark. We had a lot of emails come in during the first 2 hours of the broadcast, some of them off topic, and we, you know, the conversation was all over the place. It's fun, it's flowing free, and we're talking about how to defend yourself, trusting your gut instincts, what to do in certain situations. We played two very vicious 911 tapes during hour number one, one unarmed victim, one armed victim. And it really tells an awful lot. And we've got some of the best guests in the nation. Rob Pincus co-hosting with me, Mike Janich on, George Hill. And I'm going to go ahead and welcome them back in. We also have David Burnett, who is blinking down here on line four. Our lines are tied up right now. And David is with Students for Concealed Carry on campus, amongst a host of other things. And we'll let him talk about that. So let's do it one step at a time. Rob, welcome back to Armed American Radio.
Great to be back. I tell you, I don't know how much I normally ever get to relax, but I'm glad the third hour is a little more relaxed. That sounds great. I'm looking forward to Mr. Burnett being here. I remember that the problems that came from not being able to be armed as a student on a campus in a state where I was legally able to be armed for my personal protection, and I really wish we could get over that for all the other responsible young men and women who could be there to offer protection for themselves and others on campuses.
Yeah, he is a wealth of information. He's been on here before, and when the news in Colorado started breaking this past week, you know, he immediately came to mind. In fact, he sent me an email saying, "Did you see this?" And I said, "You know, we're on the same page here. You need to join the broadcast," and he agreed to do so, so we're thankful. Mike Janich, Best Defense, The Outdoor Channel, Blade Expert, Martial Arts, you are back on Armed American Radio. Welcome back for hour number three, man. I bet you didn't think you'd be this long, did it?
Well, I was actually hoping it would be, so I'm happy to be here.
Well, trust me, I'm glad you're back. You guys are the best out there. And George Hill, the Mad Ogre. George, welcome back to Armed American Radio, the third hour, brother.
It is a pleasure, and the third hour is always the funnest.
It is fun. It really is fun because we loosen up a little bit and you know, everybody's kind of catching their groove. And I'm just going to take my eyes off the five different things. You know, I wish the station would get the studio would get the you know, the tabbed browser. You know, you'd think instead of having to go drop down one back and forth to look at the other every time I want to see something. Let's go ahead and bring David Burnett in from Students for Concealed Carry on campus. David, you're on Armed American Radio round two. We appreciate it. And, man, have you got a lot to talk about tonight. Welcome back to the broadcast.
Hey, Mark, thanks for welcoming back in.
You are very welcome. I'm glad you're here. You know, I don't think you've had an opportunity to talk with Mike and Rob from Best Defense and Outdoor Channel. These guys are the best in the business, and I really want to hear what they have to say about what you're going to tell us tonight because, you know what, let's just start from it. Go from the beginning. What the heck is going on out there in Colorado?
Right, take it from the top. Well, the bottom line is insanity. Until recently, Colorado State University, all of the colleges in Utah, and at least one college in Virginia have allowed concealed carry on campus. Those have been the only schools where neither the school nor the state forbade you from carrying in your own self-defense. Colorado had been that way since 2003, when their concealed carry law went into effect. Most of the other colleges went ahead and laid down some sort of gun bans of their own. For whatever reason, Colorado State University allowed concealed carry on campus, and it's been that way for 6 years. all of a sudden, the Board of Governors and the so-called safety experts there and the President's Cabinet all got together and decided that concealed carry on campus was a bad thing. Excuse me, I'm getting over a cold. Decided it was a bad thing, and so they needed to start the wheels going for getting a ban going on the concealed carry. Now, if you actually look at the resolution that the Board of Governors passed, it doesn't specifically state we need to ban guns. But that's how the AP reported it. That's how everybody understands that the idea behind this is to start curtailing the right to keep and bear arms for self-defense on a college campus.
Well, David, certainly there had to be some type of harrowing incident that made them want to go in this direction. Why don't you tell us what it was?
I honestly couldn't do that for you, Mark, because there wasn't any.
Somehow I knew you were going
to
say that.
We went to the police website for Colorado State University. We went to their website and started. We pulled up the crime information, and I was going to try and send this to you before we got on the air, but I didn't quite get to it. But and it's on their website for anybody to go look at. We plugged it into a graph. 2003, crime was on the increase. After 2003, after concealed carry on campus became legal, this thing absolutely plunged. I mean, think of a roller coaster. That's how far it plunged. I'm looking at the charts for the total sex offenses in 1998. There was 31. In 2008, there was 2. So for all of these safety experts and the officials who are saying this is about safety, I've really got to take exception with this and ask them exactly whose safety are we talking about here.
Rob, what in the world goes through people's minds?
Well, you know, I can't explain that. That's for sure. What I can tell you is that the facts would be really, really clear in everybody's face if there was a problem with the legally armed causing these problems, causing recklessness, even accidents. If these things were happening, it's not some liberal media agenda. It's just common sense. We would know about it. So the fact that David's got these numbers that tell us and show us that you can't point to anything like that, not an increase in crime, not any kind of accidents, not any kind of recklessness, not anything. I just read a story on this CSU deal that one of the things they talked about was the drinking that happens on college campuses, which is an infinitely bigger problem than firearms ever will be. We know certain things cause problems, and we cannot specifically say that having legally armed people causes problems.
Well, I think they ought to ban underage drinking and illegal drugs. Oh, wait.
I think they've done that. Yeah.
That's done. David, what do we do about that?
Well, I think we ought to criminalize all the things that are detrimental to society, but that's never really stopped the people who wanted to commit their bad deeds. But
now, this I want to point out, too, David. This was there's students here voted overwhelmingly what?
Exactly my next point, and I've repeated this statistic so many times, and now it's actually going a little hazy in my mind. I want to say 25-2, within a margin of error, plus or minus 2 points on that, 25-2, overwhelmingly voted to say, actually, guys, we do want to conceal carry. We want to keep this the way it is. We want to be able to defend ourselves, because guess what? You guys can't guarantee our protection. We need to be able to protect ourselves. And this basically just totally flied in the face of what the students said.
Well, if you look at the numbers before the concealed carry was passed and then how much everything dropped, it's obvious to anybody with more than two neurons in their skull that they were not protecting anybody and that the students, once armed, legally armed, were able to protect themselves. Now, there's not a lot of instances that are documented of how many times that a gun just simply saying, hey, I've got a gun, you better go away, has stopped a crime. Those things often do not get reported. But the students are obviously smarter than the faculty, and in this case, a lot smarter. And what you have here is a faculty that is not concerned about the student safety, but more concerned with making a political statement.
Well, George, you're now talking about something along, let's elevate it a little bit. You know, we're seeing the same thing happen in Congress. 61% of Americans are opposed to the federal government ramming health care down our throats, and they don't give two hoots about what we say. This is what's happening in Colorado to the students' rights on campus. Now, we've got 30 seconds before we go to a break, and I think one of the things that's important here to emphasize is, I'll use Georgia Carey as an example. They put out an unbelievable update, the Georgia Carey update, every week. I look forward to getting it as a member. And you can go online and check it out at georgiacarey.org. Anybody can. And they talk about the violence around the Georgia Tech campus. And they, believe me, there's three little episodes in that Georgia Carey update every single week. And we all think crime doesn't happen on campus. Well, guess what? It does. And these students know what they're talking about. We'll be right back after these messages with Rob Pincus, George Hill, Mike Janich, and David Burnett from Students for Concealed Carry. Stick around. We'll see you in just a second.
Going into battle, you would want all the ammunition for your gun you could get. But presently, ammunition and reloading supplies are in shortage. Now think about this. If you have no food, all the guns and ammunition will be useless against the population control breadlines. In the present battle for freedom and the lives of your loved ones, food is your most important and only true ammunition. How much do you want? When do you want it, now or after the battle starts? When will you need it? Will you buy it without proper identification? Will it make your children sick? Quarantine? Will you feed yourself or go to the gathering center for immunization? All of these problems disappear if you have a good supply of storable food. Food is your ammunition to fight for your freedom and your life. How much will you need? We don't know. How much do you want? All you can get. Storable food puts you in control. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. Call 800-409-5633.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Is your life a whirr? Do you find yourself coming and going at a pace that would leave a coffee-drinking Jack Russell Terrier in the dust? Would you like to just slow down and get out of the rat race? Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby with the 3-Step Plan Home Business System. Slow down and have a less stressful, happier life by building a home business. Go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-895-6545. 800-895-6545.
Are you a firearms owner? If you live in an urban area that is susceptible to natural or man-made disasters, then you need to visit 9survive.com. Learn vital survival skills, such as how to avoid making your prepared family a target for looters, and how to fix the top 10 mistakes people make with 72-hour kits. Learn these skills and more. Sign up for a free 9-day mini course at 9survive.com. That's the number 9, survive, then .com.
Man, I love that. I've seen that guy live so many times, it's not even funny. He needs to be on this program, doesn't he? Yes, he does. I'll stop there. Guys, I got an email from someone that's... David, I want to put you on hold for 1 second because I want to answer this. From Robert Gomez. Robert Gomez, MD, up in Madison, Wisconsin, listening to us today. And he says, Mark, please explain how Castle Doctrine relates to your scenarios. I realize that the doctrine is intuitive, but sometimes not well understood. Mike and Rob, I'm going to defer that to you. Now, he was asking about, I'm sure, the scenarios and covered in hour one and kind of, you know, melded into hour two. Thoughts on that?
I have some pretty strong thoughts on Castle Doctrine, getting back to that could versus should. The fact is that in the aftermath of the use of lethal force to defend yourself or your family in your home, Castle Doctrine is going to matter. In the preparation for defense of yourself or your family in the home, Castle Doctrine is irrelevant. I don't think that we should be making choices about trusting our gut instincts and trusting the obvious set of circumstances that are in front of us when someone's breaking a door down. We're on the phone with the police and we're telling them to stay out and we have a loaded gun and we have the option of defending ourselves or our family. The legal aftermath can be dealt with in the aftermath. It doesn't have to be dealt with at that moment. The law doesn't determine whether or not you need to defend yourself. The actions of the bad guy do.
Ooh, great point. Mike.
I couldn't have put it better. You know, when you look at, for example, Gun Sight Training Center, a lot of times what Jeff Cooper would teach is you have problem one, problem two. Problem one is everything that it takes to actually survive the situation. Problem two is dealing with the legal consequences thereof. And exactly as Rob said, the circumstances that are going to require you to defend yourself and defend your family are always going to take precedence. And then the act of justifying that, explaining that, sorting out all the aftermath is a totally separate issue. Because if you don't solve the first problem, the second one is irrelevant.
Wouldn't you rather be alive to solve the second problem?
Exactly right.
Okay, that's the whole moral of the whole deal. Dr. Gomez, thank you very much for tuning into Armed American Radio. That's a great question. David, let's get back to you for just a second here. Actually, for lots of seconds, and talk to you a little bit about some of the unique situations that college students face that maybe some of us out in the quote-unquote real world don't.
Yeah, well, you know, I was thinking about this during the break, and it's so counterintelligence to you and me that after crime plummeting Colorado State, they would still try to ban concealed carry. But what we're about, what Students for Concealed Carry on Campus is about, is real protection, real self-defense. We're not asking for extra hours to play with our guns or to feel like we're superior to anybody else. This is the real world. We just saw a Georgia Tech student was stabbed right near campus the other day. You know, these things happen, and as long as the college cannot guarantee our safety, then we have to be able to carry. And if people go over to our website, concealcampus.org, click on the tab Campus Crime, we actually detail a few different incidents of cases where students were able to use firearms in self-defense. And I'll give you just one quick example.
Please.
South Carolina, August of last year, there was a student who was driving along. Pardon me. Student was driving along, happened to have his Glock 40 caliber in the glove box. And he was a little lost because he was a student. He was new to the area. So he's driving kind of slow, looking for somewhere to turn off. Guy behind him roars up behind him in this, it was like some fancy expensive car, runs the guy off the road, gets out of his car with a baseball bat. He's going to let the student have it. Student reaches into his glove box and doesn't have to shoot. He just brandishes the weapon, and Mr. Baseball Bat gets an inclination that he had an urgent appointment elsewhere and leaves the scene. And that was one of those examples of deterrence that one of your other co-guests there was talking about earlier, where you don't even have to pull the trigger to actually get somebody, you know, to actually affect self-defense on the scene.
Mike, so, isn't that great?
That's awesome.
Isn't that amazing? Listen,
ending, as far as I'm concerned.
Here's what I picked up on that. New to the area and lost. That's a unique situation for a college student, isn't it? They show up one time, they go to orientation, they're there with mom and dad leave, and the kids are left there, and they don't know anything about the surrounding town. You know, it's a one big party to them on campus, but then all of a sudden they venture off campus, they're new to the area and lost. And this, you guys cover this, maybe not, you know, directly related to the college student, but you cover that scenario. And, you know, you're in a, maybe you're in your car, Rob, or, you know, like he was, you're at a traffic light, whatever the case may be.
Whatever situation, you know, we can picture again, coming back to principles, coming back to basic concepts. And those concepts are going to apply whether you're in college, whether you teach at college, whether you're driving by a college. And that particular circumstance should not dictate that you're not prepared to defend yourself. It's just ridiculous.
It is, and it's ludicrous to think that someone can say that your right to self-defense stops when you hit the campus. David, you are in Kentucky, right?
That's right.
Okay. You know, the situation at University of Kentucky is no different than it is, you referenced Georgia Tech.
Right.
Go to the GeorgiaCarry.org and look at what happens. Listen, I want to reference a thing that you pointed out, some statistics. Many of you probably all know of Kennesaw. You may have heard of Kennesaw. A lot of people refer to it as Guntown, USA. In 1987, Kennesaw City Council got fed up with criminals coming out of downtown Atlanta and burglarizing and criminalizing their area. And you know what they did? They very vocally passed an ordinance that said you have to have, every homeowner has to keep a loaded weapon in the home. Guess what happened to crime, George Hill?
I'm guessing that it went down.
Oh, about 87%. And you know what? It has stayed at those levels since 1987.
87.
Both now, year what? And the percentage. It has stayed. It plummeted and it stayed there.
Now, I want to know, what mayor, what politician, what city council member would not want that same statistic for their area? I don't get it. Why don't these people who claim to be leaders actually have the balls to lead and do something that would dramatically help the citizens that they are supposed to be leading?
Parlay that over to a college kid. David, what goes through, and I know you can't answer this question, but what goes through the minds of the Board of Governors? What made them make this decision? Was there a spark?
It's about as difficult of a question to answer as what went through the head of the deranged shooters that went on the campus. I can't answer. I mean, I can only surmise in the light of these statistics that it's personal ideology that's getting in the way of actual change on campus.
Yeah, it's crazy. Mike, do college, let's get a little specific here, Mike. College girls, do they face a unique environment that they should prepare for differently than they would if they were going to and from their home to work every day? Is this a different environment that they should be better prepared for, maybe from a martial arts standpoint?
I think in some ways they do. I've got a daughter in college here in Colorado, going to the University of Colorado. So, you know, I've definitely done my best to try to prepare her for that type of environment. And really what it comes down to, when you think of any situation where your judgment might be impaired, that's going to affect your ability to protect yourself. And that's, I think, really the most significant thing. I mean, when you look at a college campus, certainly you have, you know, lots of activity going on, lots of people moving around and everything. But really what it comes down to are situations where you might go to a party, you might leave yourself vulnerable.
You have to keep your head on. I hate to cut you off. Just a couple seconds, we're going to be going to a hard break here. We'll be right back after these messages. We'll continue Mike's answer.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
The credit card companies have received government bailouts, and you're still struggling to make ends meet. If you are behind on your credit card payments, call for powerful, free information and consultation from Financial Freedom of America. The facts are, Financial Freedom of America can show you how to cut your credit card debt in half, and the credit card companies are willing to negotiate for less than what you owe. So now is the time to act. If you need a partner to work on your behalf, call now to get maximum savings off your debts. Financial Freedom of America settled over $27 million in credit card debt last year alone. They can do the same for you. It all starts with a free 10-minute personal and confidential consultation. There is no cost or obligation to find out about this life-changing program. Individual results may vary, not available in all states. So call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191. If you need a personal bailout, call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heest. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Andy Willoughby's three-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the three-step plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business, and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Welcome back to Armed American Radio. I'm joined by Rob Pincus, George Hill the Mad Ogre, Mike Janich, and David Burnett from Students for Concealed Carry on Campus. Before we get back in with David, Rob, Concealed Carry Magazine, you got some upcoming stuff, don't you?
Yeah, actually I was lucky enough to have one of their writers came out from the Pacific Northwest, a guy who works with Marty Hayes out there at Firearms Academy in Seattle, and also writes for Concealed Carry Magazine, came to a class that I had here in Virginia Beach with Tony Blauer. We did a class in September. It was a combo class, combat focus shooting and spear system, personal defense readiness. And he was able to do a story on both aspects of that course and talk about it for people who might be interested in developing those unarmed skills as well as their intuitive shooting skill development side. And I'm actually, as part of that, going to do a follow-up article on one of the principles of the combat focused shooting program. So the readers of Concealed Carry Magazine will be able to learn a little more about that program and what we're doing out here in Virginia Beach, along with Blauer Tactical.
It's about darn time you got in that magazine.
Well, yeah, you know, it's there's a list of a lot of things I'd like to do. That was definitely one of them, and I'm glad that we're going to check that off in 2010.
Yeah, that thing has grown like an absolute weed. I've been writing for Tim now for 5 years, and man, it has really been enjoyable to watch that thing just explode, just literally explode. You know, the membership base is just increasing like crazy, and the magazine is so helpful. It's just not, I don't know, it's not your typical gun rag. I won't try to sell it. You can check it out at usconcealedcarry.com. Definitely go out, and I know a lot of our listeners are already members and reading that fine publication. So that's great to see you in there, George.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know what, George, hold on to that. Before I get back to you, I had to rudely interrupt Mike before the break. Mike, I'm so sorry about that. I can't go back into the phones because we're afraid we're going to lose some of the software. So I apologize to you about that. But you were talking about having your daughter at Colorado.
Yeah, basically the point that I wanted to make, you'd asked about, you know, if the personal protection, personal safety atmosphere or environment is different on a college campus than it would be anywhere else. And really what it comes down to, I mean, all the same things still apply. And, you know, Rob had mentioned before the idea of always approaching things from a concept standpoint. Regardless of what situation you're going to find yourself in public, you're going to have the same basic concerns, the same basic considerations. What I think when you're thrown into a college environment, though, you have a lot of situations as far as parties and stuff like that where your judgment might be impaired. You might be introduced to new people that you haven't known for very long. You may trust somebody who isn't deserving of that trust. And it just puts you into a situation where all the same things apply as anywhere else, but maybe at a more intense level. So it challenges you to really stay aware, to really trust your instincts again, and to pay attention to what's going on around you and, you know, be prepared to react to it. And in a lot of cases, you know, when you consider date rape situations and things like that, just knowing how to establish boundaries when necessary and not feeling self-conscious about doing so.
Yeah, that's a great point. The female in college, and you know, I've got a niece 19 years old in college, the female in college is going to run into that type of environment, you know, where someone's motives are not going to be so pure and healthy all the time. She's going to see that more often in college than she will when she's out in, you know, in the quote-unquote real world. David, you agree with that?
I do. You know, it's funny you brought up the girls on campus. You read my mind. That's exactly where I was planning on going next. Because here's the thing. I'm a tall, ugly man, okay? I've got some martial arts training. I really don't expect that my risk of being kidnapped or raped is very high. Compared with, on my campus, a couple of semesters ago, I'm graduated now, but I was graduated University of Kentucky. A couple of semesters ago, this girl was walking along the sidewalk on campus, and somebody got out and put her into his car and took her to another county and raped her. You know, I'm assuming she just kind of went into shock because a lot of them don't take on the mindset of being prepared to face an emergency like that. And once you're in the middle of it, it's too late to prepare. And you just go into denial and you lock up. The armed citizen typically prepares against situations like that. You know, for some of the more vigilant members, you're constantly running through those scenarios in your mind. Well, okay, what happens if this happens? What am I going to do if this happens? And, you know, like I said, I'm not going to be as likely of a target for a crime like that, but the girls are. So they're honestly one of the segments I want to reach out to the most and try to arm not only with knowledge, but genuinely arm and at least prepare them to be able to stand up for themselves, because guns are the great equalizer.
Rob, he's right on the money. If the you know, the female on campus, forget the female on campus, doesn't matter, but the person carrying a sidearm for personal protection, one would hope anyway, I know me personally it does, you know, you are more on your toes.
You are. You're, you know, just taking that step changes your mindset. I don't want to run away from that segment without getting a chance to just talk a little bit about that issue of the women on campus. And really, it's women everywhere. But that reason the campus is so important goes back to something that Mike Janich said in terms of judgment. And it reminded me of something I was thinking in an earlier segment, which is we can't predict the actions of the bad guy. And we talk about hardening our target. We talk about, you know, being aware and thinking about what might happen, what the bad guy might do. The reason we have to do that is because bad guys are stupid. You know, bad guys aren't intelligence challenged. Bad guys are judgment challenged. They're challenged by making the judgment about what's right and what's wrong, what's good, what's bad, what they should do, what they shouldn't do. No one's accusing bad guys of being stupid. And that's the problem. Now, you combine that reality with what Mike Janich is talking about and the situations that will affect judgment, being in new social situations, maybe alcohol, maybe the first time you're away from your house, maybe the first time you've been around a woman, might cause that guy on the college campus to do something that it shows poor judgment and take actions that he wouldn't normally do to put that woman in a victimizing situation. And so what we always stress in the women's assault preventions that I do around the country is being aware of that and changing your mindset, and then adding the skills of something like a personal defense readiness or something like a Marshall Blades concepts where, you know, Mike Janich is going to teach you how to use a knife or use the phone or use your shoe or whatever it may be. And then building right up to what Mr. Burnett's talking about, which is be armed, be prepared for that worst case scenario, for that stranger situation, which is obviously going to be looking for the target-rich environment. And the college campuses, the way they are right now, everywhere but Utah, you've got a bunch of young, attractive females who probably aren't carrying a gun and probably aren't prepared to defend themselves. So if that intelligent guy with poor judgment wants to abduct somebody, where else is he going to go?
Well, he's going to go there, and we see it time after time after time. And, you know, it takes just one stupid mistake, Girl, guy, it doesn't matter. You make that one stupid mistake. You drink that one extra beer. You take that one silly pill because you drank a few beers that somebody talked you into, and the next thing you know, your life's changed. It's just a stupid mistake can cost you so much. And, yeah, college is rife with that stuff. David, I don't want to paint a picture, but it's a fact. You've got to be on your toes, man. Am I wrong?
No, not at all. I mean, there's a need for self-defense, and there's a need for vigilance on campus as much, if not more so, than anywhere else, because the majority of the population is young, and let's face it, they're inexperienced. That's why they're on a college campus. They're there to learn in the classroom, and a lot of the learning that takes place outside of the classroom. And ideally, that should be what the college is there for, to some extent, is to prepare and safeguard some of these people. And I honestly looked around on my college campus, and I thought, what are they doing to secure this campus? Because if I was a deranged shooter, I could drive my car right up onto campus. There's no metal detectors. There's no car checks or anything like that. Nobody wants those. I could have driven right up onto campus, had an illegal gun in my pocket, and gone around and, gone through these classrooms during the heat of the day, or the height of the day with the classes that were going on, and I could have dwarfed Virginia Tech. And, you know, I was just recognizing this, that, you know, I could have created a high victim count, and I could have plotted an escape. But I'm not the person that was going to do that. And so I actually went to the college officials and said, look, guys, this is not secure. You know?
Yeah, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Listen, we're live in the city of Atlanta right now, and Georgia Tech is within earshot here. I hope you guys are listening to this. Very, very important stuff. Stick around after the break. We'll continue the discussion. Appreciate it. You're on the Armed American Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
The credit card companies have received government bailouts, and you're still struggling to make ends meet. If you are behind on your credit card payments, call for powerful, free information and consultation from Financial Freedom of America. The facts are, Financial Freedom of America can show you how to cut your credit card debt in half, and the credit card companies are willing to negotiate for less than what you owe. So now is the time to act. If you need a partner to work on your behalf, call now to get maximum savings off your debts. Financial Freedom of America settled over $27 million in credit card debt last year alone. They can do the same for you. It all starts with a free 10-minute personal and confidential consultation. There is no cost or obligation to find out about this life-changing program. Individual results may vary, not available in all states. So call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191. If you need a personal bailout, call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191.
You're back on the Armed American Radio Network. If you want to participate for the last segment of the third hour, 877-956-9566, mark@armedamericanradio.org or mark@twitter.com. Boy, that was wrong. Twitter.com/AARmark. I don't know what I was thinking. Violence Policy Center's concealed carry killer clock has not changed since we have been announcing the boneheads over there that are keeping track of the, oh, I don't know, whatever it is, 7 or 8, 88. It hasn't changed. Statistically insignificant. However, in the last week since we were on the air, 28,846.1538461538 Americans lawfully armed defended themselves with a lawfully carried firearm. And that's using the stat of 1.5 million lawful defensive uses of a firearm every year. So let them have their clock. Statistically insignificant, you can continue to do the, well, we'll continue to do the math for you every week. How's that? Rob, Mike, George, David, welcome back to the broadcast. Rob, what do you think of those numbers?
Well, I think they speak for themselves. You know, I'm not a huge fan of statistics making an argument. I think that common sense dictates that those numbers aren't surprising. Someone who goes through the process, somebody who actually goes out and purchases the firearm legally, gets the background check done, meets whatever their state requirements are, if they're not in Vermont, if there are any other requirements to legally carry, is not very likely to be the person who is going to use the gun illegally. Now, there's always an exception, Fort Hood, obvious exception. Here's a guy, you know, involved in the mental health care profession, surrounded by people every day who are supposed to see the signs of what was coming with him. He illegally owned those firearms. and then he did a horrible illegal thing with them. We can always see those exceptions happening, and we always want to sensationalize them, but it's not what the statistics, it's not what the numbers are going to say whenever we look at real numbers, as you pointed out.
Not statistically insignificant, however, I guess the easy way to argue that point, and I think everybody here on the panel, I like that, George, you're on a panel tonight, will agree with me that there are bad people. Evil exists, and you can't legislate it. There are bad people. There have been bad people since there have been people, and you can't legislate it. You've got to do the best that you can to try to weed those folks out, and you're not always going to be successful, but you don't punish the masses for the actions of a few. So we'll continue to report on the numbers that they're reporting on. It's a public service announcement on our part. George.
And unfortunately, I'm of the opinion that we've got bad people that are doing the legislation, so that doesn't really help us out a lot. Right
no, now. And you're going to change that by running out there for the Senate in
Utah.
You know,
I intend to try.
So. State Senate, I want to put out. To point out. George, how many problems have there been with concealed carry on Utah campuses?
As far as I know, none. I'm not aware of any significant issue from anybody with a legally obtained permit carrying concealed, attending classes. I just don't know of any. However, when I was going to school, I was out there at BYU in my college roommate. I shared an apartment with four other fellows, and each one of these blokes all had a gun. In the apartment, we were all shooters. There was even a couple times when we all went shooting together, and nobody got hurt. We consumed lots of bacon double cheeseburgers and pizza, and, you know, I think one of them did steal my bottle of Poppy's number 9, if I remember right, but... nothing significant. So.
Well, you know, George, that's interesting because I went to school out in southwestern Virginia at Radford University. Mm-hmm. Very rural, very beautiful area of the state. Rob, you know Virginia.
Absolutely.
And I went to Radford University, which at the time I went, it was about 10 or 11 years removed from being the all-girls teaching college of Virginia Tech. I went to school right down the road from Blacksburg, not far, maybe 50, 60 miles south of Roanoke. And lots of girls, drinking age was 18, lots of guns on our off-campus apartments, and we would go shooting every weekend. I've never seen anybody get hurt because we were responsible. And, you know, we all graduated and we all made it out. David, where am I wrong?
I would say you're not wrong. Which part?
How can we trust college kids?
If we can't trust them, then they're going to do it no matter what.
Ah, good point.
You know, it's
as simple as that.
It's kind of funny that we trust them with credit cards, cell phones, and automobiles. How come we can't trust them with an Airweight 38?
Mike, do you trust your daughter?
I definitely trust my daughter.
Of course. She's been raised properly, right?
She's been raised properly. She's responsible. She has good judgment. You know, one of the interesting things when I was just thinking a few minutes ago, you know, I'm former military. I know Rob is former military as well. Thinking back, we had the reference to, you know, the tragedy at Fort Hood. One of the interesting things about that, when you consider it in context, a federal installation like Fort Hood, concealed carry is also not permitted. So what you have, again, is a non-permissive environment, just like what they're trying to do as far as the college campuses are concerned. And when you disarm the law-abiding people and you don't give them the opportunity to be able to fend for themselves and defend themselves when a critical incident occurs, everybody loses.
I've asked repeatedly on this program, repeatedly, and I'll continue to ask it because I defy anybody to answer it any other way. Rob, don't you think that all of those 13 victims, seasoned military veterans, would have wanted the opportunity to defend themselves?
Absolutely.
I mean, come on. I can't imagine one of them is going to say, no, I wanted to run. I wanted the opportunity to defend myself if given the opportunity to do so. Obviously run. I probably didn't come out right, but I think you understand what I'm saying. These people would have wanted the opportunity to defend themselves. They're seasoned veterans.
These guys are warriors. They wouldn't want to defend themselves. They wouldn't want to run. They would want to take out that bad guy, take out the threat, to not save themselves, but to save their they're compadres. That's
Rob,
the warrior mentality.
George, you're right on the money. Rob, what do you think?
Yeah, yeah, that's absolutely true in that environment. And I think that, you know, as we always say, the context always dictates, but in that environment, you're not going to have a situation like that if you just simply let those military personnel carry the same firearms they carry in third world countries. They carry at the gates. Let them carry them everywhere on base, and in fact, make them responsible for carrying them every day on base. And you know what? They're probably going to perform better overseas, including the people in the rear echelon that only get to shoot, you know, maybe once a year. Let's get them with the firearms in their hands more often. You're going to have fewer accidents, and you're certainly not going to have people taking advantage of the opportunity to attack our military here in the country when they're unarmed.
Yeah, I got an email here. I want to jump into this context of this conversation. The subject is "For the Troops." The sender is Joseph. Mark, just wanted you to know that we're on board in your efforts to help out Charlie Company of the 11th Marine Expeditionary Unit. We just launched Slipstream for the Troops. We're trying to get folks to buy a kit for the troops, and when we get a full case purchase, 20, we will send it over to Charlie Company. From a former Marine, thanks for supporting those guys and giving us the opportunity to help out Joe. George, I think you know who that is.
Exactly.
And I think you know a little bit about Slipstream. For the listener, you can head over to armedamericanradio.org and check out the America's Heroes page at the top. And those guys are doing, you know, they're doing the dirty work for us and our family and our kids. And we thank them very much. And I know Ed Rouse is out there listening to all three of our hours tonight. And we're getting some emails back and forth from him. It's been a long broadcast. Ed, and I apologize I didn't get to him, but you know, I don't have to say any more than that. So thanks to that. And thanks for Joe.
It's just amazing to me that we can trust these guys, who I consider to be our nation's best over there, defending our freedom and liberty. But as soon as they come back, oh, no, we can't have you packing a gun here.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we've got 1 minute before Ted Nugent starts cranking, and then after that music, that gives us about a minute and 20 seconds. Let's go around the horn. Rob, I can't thank you enough for being on. We're going to make this a regular deal. Hopefully you're up for that.
I am. I'm excited about what 2010 is going to bring. I look forward to being part of Armed American Radio as we move forward. It's always a pleasure to be here. Special privilege tonight. It's always great to work with Mike Janich, but having the Mad Ogre, George Hill, the original gun blogger, on with us was also really cool.
He's great, isn't he? What do you want to tell us? Downrange TV, the upcoming season starts when?
Man, we got Downrange TV forums going on. We've got the ICETraining.us website with all the updates there. We're on Facebook now. Of course, Best Defense starts up December 30th. And, you know, I have to throw a mention out there for SWAT Magazine TV. That's my new show that's starting also on December 30th, Outdoor Channel.
Absolutely. Mike, plug away, brother. We got about a little bit over a minute.
Well, again, great honor to be here. It's great being able to chat with everybody. Check out MarshallBladeConcepts.com as far as my training and curriculum. Also, StaySafeMedia.com for all my latest videos and DVDs. And look for us on the Best Defense in 2010.
You got a deal. And David Burnett, send us to a website real quick.
Mark, our website is ConcealedCampus.org. And if you want to rebut those Violence Policy Center stats, go to TheArmedCitizen.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And we've posted no less than a dozen updates of armed citizens that have defended themselves.
You got a deal. George Hill, the Mad Ogre, you know we're going to talk again. MadOgre.com. I'm your host, Mark Walters. Catch us at armedamericanradio.org, Facebook. We're out there. Twitter. We'll see you next week right here on Armed American Radio. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now, baby.